So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers separated by 3,000 miles ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and former recovering biker Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say what up.
Hey, what up, crew? This is Soren Bowie. I am a writer for American Dad, a writer of an article on trying to get people to come to a Bennigan's where I would fight a turkey out in the parking lot. A number of other articles, too.
Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Keep your sweaty crack clean all summer long with the latest in butt cleaning technology, water. Clean your butthole with a bidet. Get 10% off plus free shipping and get your butt clean at hellotushy.com/QQ.
I have a quick question for you to start off, Daniel.
Oh, wow. All right.
Recovering.
I was going to plug something for you, but...
Recovering biker.
Oh, yeah. So we talked about my... I was going to say in our last episode, we talked about my wrist surgery when like 90% of the episode was about your surgery with me every once in a while. Anytime I noticed like, it's been a while since I've heard my voice, I would jump in with my less relevant, less scary surgery. But if this is your first episode, I broke my wrist several years ago and had surgery on it, and I broke my wrist. I was riding my bike in Los Angeles. It was couldn't be any more wholesome riding my bike to church, and a driver pulled an illegal U-turn in the middle of the street ahead of me, and I was going downhill. It's a part of it's coming right up on Santa Monica Boulevard, intersection of Santa Monica Boulevard and Westwood. There's a very steep hill by the Sprouts, and a car did an illegal U-turn in the road by the Sprouts and then was sort of hovering in the bike lane, and it wasn't clear if he or she was going to get out of the bike lane or go into the Sprouts. Like, it was an indecisive driver making sudden moves ahead of me, and in all of that panic, shot forward off my bike, broke my wrist, and then went to the emergency room, eventually got surgery, fully healed, everything's great. But something occurred to me that I have not been on a bike since. It's because I was talking to someone who's going to Hawaii soon, and I told her she should do this very specific trip where you take a bus in the middle of the night to the top of a volcano called Haleakala, and then you watch the sunrise, and then you take a bike ride down the volcano. It's very fun. And she said, do you bike a lot? And that's when I realized, no, I used to. I used to bike like 35 miles a week. And then I had this accident and, like, of course, wasn't going to continue biking that day and didn't bike with all of the surgery and recovery. And I don't feel like I have been avoiding bikes. Like, I don't have nightmares of bikes or anything like that. I imagine I could get on one right now. But it's still one of those things where it's like, yeah, I guess the last time I was on a bike, something terrible happened. And I don't know if that's a thing that I need to reckon with or not.
Right. Oh, I wonder what it's going to be like.
I know. Cause now it seems like there's pressure on it.
Yeah. Well, once you acknowledge that that's the last time, it becomes a whole thing. But you're actually right. In my life, I go through whole decades where I don't ride a bike. it just doesn't come up for whatever reason. Like, until my son got to a certain age, I hadn't ridden a bike since I had just begun at Cracked and I could ride my bike to work. So it'd been like 4 years since I had ridden a bike. And then I started carrying him around in a little carrier on the back. But that was the only reason I ride a bike, and you don't have that reason. And you live in a city where, gosh, I mean, you've never even had a license. You've never driven a car.
God damn it.
there's just no reason for you to ride a bike, I don't think.
I certainly used to like it, but now that I'm doing mental inventory, I remember my bike in college was stolen. On another very wholesome day, I had ridden my bike to my friend's house. We were going to make a cake together, my friend Nancy. And we spent like a Sunday afternoon baking a cake. And then I got out of cake baking and someone had gone into her backyard and stolen my bike. I almost always chain it up everywhere, but I didn't think anyone was going to wander into a backyard and steal a bike in broad daylight on a Sunday during prime cake time. So that bike was stolen. And then my first bike in Los Angeles broke while I was riding it. It was like a shitty bike, so it was destined for failure. But I'm piecing some things together. I've had some bad luck with bikes.
Yeah, I wonder if all those events are... You were just like headed towards a serious injury on a bike at some point. And at each turn, yeah, there was some benevolent act of nature was like, not today. Let's steal his bike instead. Yeah. It was bound to happen. And then at each one of those turns, those terrible things that happened to your bicycles were just something looking out for you so that you wouldn't break your wrist. And then eventually you just forced it. You forced their hand.
So now if we are to believe that there was an omnipotent otherworldly presence that is trying to get me off a bike,
yeah,
to avoid an accident, what are we supposed to learn from the fact that the accident happened on my way to church? Where's the lesson?
I think when you told me, for some reason we were at a bar the night after you did it, or the night you had done it, and then like, didn't we see you at the for your birthday? No, it wasn't your birthday. It would have been the wrong time of year. But for some reason, I feel like I saw you right after you did it, and I asked you, or I told you that I think God doesn't want you there.
That sounds right.
Well, should we get into the show?
We should get into the show. Yeah, I did want to plug something because you mentioned, as you always do up top, that you're a writer for American Dad. And according to my calendar, the thing I set my life to, when this episode comes out, will be a week before your episode of American Dad comes out. This is going to be the last episode before July 7th.
That's right. Yeah, so it's very exciting for me. This is July 5th is my episode that I wrote last year. And it's exciting because Scottie Pippen is in it, who he's like a childhood hero of mine. Scottie Pippen is in it playing himself, and he's so funny.
That's so exciting. Why do I have in my calendar that it comes out July 7th? Did you ever tell me July 7th?
I think I probably did, and I think our show comes out on a Monday. I don't know. I don't watch it. I think our show comes out on Mondays. So
okay.
I think the 5th is actually my episode.
All right. Well, this is still the right time to plug it, so I get good guy points for remembering.
Can that be
right? Let's get into our show. We have a little bit of a different kind of show this week, as if there's ever been any kind of consistency week to week. This is a segment I'm going to call Dispatches from Next Door.
Cool.
If you'll indulge me.
Yeah.
Next Door, as everyone knows, it's my current favorite website. I guess it's also an app, but it's a neighborhood-based social networking platform where people can talk about what they're selling, or they can plan meetups or give away furniture. Or if you're me, you treat it as a delightful little reality show.
Yeah.
Purely in text form, so you can see how bonkers all of your neighbors are. I love it. I visit it several times a day to see what's going on, and I had one of my favorite kind of wacky adventures recently that I just absorbed from watching it. And this will serve as a spoiler alert, companion to the story Soren told a while ago about that fucking dog that definitely died. So a person on Nextdoor posted about their dog missing. Dog had only been in the city for 3 months and went missing, had like escaped from the dog walker. And immediately this is, you're not getting that dog back. 3 months in the city, that dog doesn't know where it is, ran away from the dog walker, it's gone. It's gone forever. And the wild thing about it was the person kept posting every day, update, still missing. And then other people who are not the dog owner kept getting involved. And like no one had any additional leads on this dog, but strangers now were posting, hey, anyone who's looking for Flower, here are some updates. Still no idea where she is. Still missing 3 days on.
Yeah.
But this is where I looked today. And everyone is just like, it's a great bit of community coming together to support other strangers in the community. But also, like, I think you people are just bored.
Right.
Because no one is, like, doing anything that can provably be linked to actually finding Flower. And one of my favorite entries in this saga was a woman who is not the dog owner, who was talking about the dog owner, who we'll call Brittany, and is like, Brittany's at work today from 9 to 6 or whatever. While she's at work, and then she like included Brittany's place of business.
Whoa, she doxed her on the next door.
Yeah, she's like, while she's at work here, here are some things that we can do to help find this dog. And she had like a bullet point list of things. It was like, go to Craigslist, go to different shelters, ask for the lost and found on shelters, walk around with this picture. Point number 4, last night I talked to a retired detective, and the detective said, we need to get a drone. And I thought, okay, good. So this woman is occupied. So we don't have to worry about her causing any trouble.
Yeah, she's dedicating her powers to something good.
Yeah, she's very focused on that, and that's good. Now that she's out of the way, let's the rest of us put our heads down and look for this dog, who is definitely missing forever or dead.
Yes.
But Soren, they found her.
What?
Flower came home.
How long?
From June 8th until June 13th.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to ask either of us to do that math because it's very tricky because it wraps around the 10 and that's difficult.
It's around, wow, that's in the middle of the city, a dog missing for over a week, maybe.
It ended up from the Upper West Side, where it started, it ended up in Long Island City, which is, you're going through a tunnel at that point. This dog ran away and went through a tunnel. And it was, no exaggeration, one of the most exciting moments of my life.
Okay.
When you see the next door post that all caps, Flower has been found. And we like fucking lost it. Me and all the other strangers, even that lunatic who posted, who doxed our woman, yeah. She was flipping out. We were all flipping out, and they like a meetup was held in Central Park to meet the owner and this now arbitrarily assigned hero dog, whose act of heroism was just like staying alive and being found, and it was such a wacky and fun, uplifting story of like a neighborhood coming together, like every bored lunatic with time on their hands getting together to try to find this dog until it was eventually found in a warehouse in Long Island City.
What?
It made the news.
Oh man, that's so cool.
It was, and like I didn't know from next door that it was going to be on the news. I was watching Jeopardy, which is the only thing that I watch on like regular TV that is not like an on-demand streaming thing. A, regular TV, and B, the only thing that I watch with commercials, because I just want to like see what's going on with commercials. And that's when I see like the 30-second commercial for the evening news is on Jeopardy. And as soon as the guy cuts in, the newsman cuts in, and he's like, we're going to talk about this. The second, the remarkable story of a community and this one dog. And as soon as I saw the picture of the dog, I was like, that's fucking Flower. And I went to next door to tell the rest of next door that Flower is going to be on the news. And everyone's like, nah, I know. We see it. We're excited.
I need so much. So I have a lot of questions about this.
Okay.
Number one, did the private detective, did anybody get any sort of a sense of how this dog ended up down there?
So on the news, you could see footage of the dog running through a tunnel.
What?
And you could see like there are.
Oh, they have the CCTV.
Yeah, and there are cops who like stopped traffic because they tried to get the dog, And they failed getting the dog, but like they stopped enough traffic that the dog had like free reign through that tunnel.
Oh, that's so
and then
fun.
None of the cops followed the dog afterwards into Long Island City because forget about it, it's Chinatown.
Yeah.
And they just let the dog run free in there. And then it just ended up like it's just somebody else on Nextdoor posting about noise in a warehouse in Long Island City that led enough of these other Nextdoor sleuths to put a few together to connect the warehouse with the dog owner.
So Nextdoor did find the dog. It was somebody else.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's a Pixar movie.
No.
Okay. Do you know what was it just like an abandoned warehouse the dog ended up in?
I don't have that information.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Now, did you go to the meetup?
I didn't go to the meetup because the day of the meetup was the day that I was driving to my Jersey Beach town.
Okay.
So I couldn't go.
I think it would be very funny if the dog tried to run away at the meetup. or a really good bit would have been for you to go there, meet people, and in the mid-conversation, grab the dog and pretend to run away with it.
Yeah.
But
my favorite detail still remains the one that I pulled out about this woman who doesn't own the dog, but knows all this information, who knew of a retired detective. And the detective's only advice was, you need to get a drone. That's the thing where I was like, I have no plausible reason to ask this woman for more information, but I really want to.
I cannot fucking believe that this dog was alive. And well, I can believe it was alive, but that it didn't belong to somebody else at this point. Because that seems to happen quite a bit in Los Angeles, is people's dogs go missing all the time. But that's because somebody owns that dog now. Somebody has found that dog or kidnapped that dog and been like, I want this dog now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great story, Dan.
Thanks, buddy.
I
was really hoping I could fill more time.
No, it's okay, because I do have a lot of questions about this dog. Did you already tell me what kind of dog it was?
No. And actually, I changed the name of the dog because to protect, I don't know, someone's privacy?
Yeah, well, all I need to know is if it's a big dog or a little dog.
It's a biggish dog. It looked like kind of a greyhound, but a little bit heavier than a greyhound.
Okay.
And like definitely not a pure greyhound.
Yeah.
But like that long kind of skinny face and a bigger dog.
Okay. So that actually, it's I don't know why, but that's less impressive in my mind than like a little like Chihuahua or something that's scampering along in the big city by itself and found its way. And where the fuck was that dog going? So did it escape from an apartment or just got loose from somebody?
Escaped from a dog walker.
Okay. And just got scared.
And that's one of the other things that makes Nextdoor the perfect reality show is the amount of recurring characters and recurring side threads that are going to happen anywhere, because you would think the main narrative is there's a dog missing and it's my dog and let's all focus on it. And that's certainly a big part of it. But if you click through the comments on a thread, you'll get some like the basic information. This is my dog's name. This is what she looks like. She is missing. She got away from a dog walker. And you get all these people like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll help you look. And then you'll get people who are like, that's why you can never fucking trust a dog walker. That's why I don't ever... That I'm like, well, wait, what? Where? Who?
How's this helping?
Well, who's this new character? And one of the details we learned about the dog is that the woman rescued the dog from India when she was traveling in India.
Wow!
And then somebody in the comments was like, "Oh, well, India. Well, that dog's long gone." I'm like, "Well, that won't even. That's a type of stereotype that I'm not even familiar with."
it's an amazing. Go back to India, missed home.
Yeah. Every Nextdoor adventure is Game of Thrones in its sprawl, in the amount of like side characters, fully realized, full developed characters just existing in this world where like my point of view is you can't trust dog walkers. Well, my point of view is you just shouldn't have dogs. Let the dogs be free. Like, all right, okay.
My point of view is India's got like, the worst dogs. Their dogs are bad.
We're setting up a whole lot of plot threads, and I don't think we could tie them all together by the end of this saga.
That's one thing that I do really enjoy about Nextdoor, and I still, what keeps me on it, I don't even have Nextdoor for my new neighborhood. I only have Nextdoor for my old neighborhood, and I still go and visit it because there are You're absolutely right. You basically start with these archetypes. Like, there are these people who continuously post no matter what. They're going to be in other people's replies and everything. And they also start their own threads constantly. And these characters emerge. And then you get to watch, like, it's you just get to throw them at each other. Like, you know, yeah, that if somebody's going to talk about they saw a coyote, man, I know the coyote guy. I know who's on this shit. And I know I want to see his replies because he's got a lot of advice for how you should interact with a coyote. And guaranteed at every single turn, these people are going to interact with each other. And it's so indulgent to watch it happen. And you know when things are going to get bad, and that's fun. Like, I'm looking forward to when there's going to be a fight.
Summer's here and the living ain't easy. If you've got swamp ass, how will you stay on top of your sweaty bottom? Try a refreshing spray from Hello Tushy Bidet. There's lots of good things about heading into warmer weather. And I'm going to name some. The sun feels good on the skin, but not too much. That would be bad. Also, you get to wear flip-flops if that's a thing that you're into. But a butt crack dripping with hot summer sweat isn't one of those good things that we like about warmer weather. Now we're going to ask you to say goodbye to Swamp Ass and Hello Tushy. I'm inspired by the copy for this Hello Tushy ad, so I'm going to do it as I think they want me to, based on the structure of this joke they've prepared. And do it in the style of Foxworthy. If it feels like you sat in a puddle of water, but your jeans are bone dry, you might be suffering from swamp ass. End of impression. Thank you. The cure? A Hello Tushy Bidet.
If you got a monster growing in your pants, you might have a swamp ass.
But this beast has a weakness. A Hello Tushy Bidet. Keep your sweaty crack clean all summer long with the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 Modern Bidet Attachment. It's a stylish, eco-friendly, refreshing little shower for your ass. For your ass. Hello Tushy 3.0 cleans soggy butts like a champ, as a champ would. But it doesn't stop there. It cleans itself with a Smart Spray TM automatic self-cleaning nozzle, period. The Hello Tushy Bidet will ruin you for all other bathrooms, friends' houses, offices, airport bathrooms, all of them need a bidet. If there's any downside, is that it makes doing your business in places that don't have a Hello Tushy very unpleasant. Breaking news! The biggest scam rocking the nation is toilet paper. That can't be true. If you got poo on your arm, would you wipe it off with dry paper or would you wash it with water?
Maybe both. I'd do both.
No one wants to work up a sweat in 100 degree heat. That's why the Hello Tushy Bidet attaches to your existing toilet with no electricity or extra plumbing needed. And Hello Tushy cuts toilet paper use by 80%, so it'll pay for itself in a few months. Plus, Hello Tushy's got your ass covered with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Already got a Hello Tushy on the pot? Treat your ass to the new 3.0 model. If you're new to the revolution, join the millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now and have a clean butt with every flush. Defeat swamp ass. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. That's hellotushy.com/QQ.
I'll tell you, very recently there was a similar situation where somebody lost a dog, or a dog had been missing for a while, and it did not go this well. I looked at it, and there was a woman who was saying that she was telling the story about how she was putting up posters of her dog everywhere, her missing dog, and it was a $3,000 reward she was offering. Only this post was not about that. This post was about, please, if you see these posters lying on the ground or if you see someone tearing them down, please let me know so that I can go repost there. I was posting on, and then she gave an intersection the other day, and a woman with her child came up and watched me and scowled. And I said, have you seen this dog? And she said, that dog's already been eaten at the Chinese food restaurant.
Jesus.
And I told that woman that she was racist. And then that started an altercation. So, like, and she's just sort of like, we're just getting these like glossy details of this very intricate fight that probably took place. And then this woman is the one who's then been tearing them down. So it comes out in the replies. Somebody's like, well, can you post a picture of the dog? And so she posts a picture of the flyer. And it is a big... I don't mean to laugh about this woman's missing dog. It's a big poster board that you would use for like a science project or something. Neon green. and she's posted these all over this neighborhood. So there are these giant neon green posters dangling off of lights and things like that all over this neighborhood on the sides of apartment complexes and stuff. And then there's this other old woman who's wandering around tearing them down because she doesn't like them in the neighborhood. She, it turns out, is also on Nextdoor. And so she starts replying in the same thread about how these things are an eyesore. And like, if you want your dog back, there's better ways to do it, but like not offering any, obviously. But so then everyone's, then it makes these factions start forming where people are like, I see these everywhere. They drive me crazy. And other people like, you don't understand what it's like to lose a dog. And they just fighting with each other. And I just, it's a shame it's real, honestly, because I enjoy it so much. I just enjoy watching it unfold. And that dog has not been found.
That is a terrible bummer.
But the posters are, I'll send you a picture of the posters. They're really pretty great.
It really makes me wonder. I can't imagine that Nextdoor created these people, right?
No, they existed.
So they've always existed, but just like, what did they do? Are they just all the people who show up at like town hall meetings that I don't go to?
I don't know. I
like, I'm trying to think if like my neighborhood growing up seemed so boring and or just so average, I guess, that statistically, however, it seemed like there must have been people in their homes just like sitting there being crazy all the time.
Yeah, I think that's way, way more common than we think. It's like that you've just got these rear window people, these people who are immobilized for whatever reason. They're stuck in their house, whether it's because of a handicap of some reason, or they just don't have anything going on in their life. And they're the people who are constantly looking out their window and wondering what everybody else is doing out there. What could they possibly be doing? Because I stay home all day. Why is that guy walking up and down the street? He doesn't even have a dog. And then those are the people that you meet on Nextdoor. Those are the people who are like, this neighborhood is in danger of crumbling and I am the only one holding it up.
Man.
How big is your quadrant? Do you know that area that your Nextdoor covers?
I'm looking at it now. How would I find that out? Does it say on
you Nextdoor? Just know by like people are always talking about like I had a break in on this street
or... Okay, yeah, I would say maybe 20 blocks. It's
oh, that's big.
Like the farthest out I've seen any news.
I figured it would be much smaller in New York because everybody's kind of packed on top of each other. You can afford to you have a lot more people in one particular little area. In LA, that's about how big they are too, but that's because, you know, it doesn't cover, that's not that many. That's like one little neighborhood. Wow. So that's just a ton of people that were all looking for flour.
Yeah.
That's such a nice, heartwarming story. I'm not surprised the news pounced on that. I love that the police, too, were, they saw the dog. They're like, we got to get this dog home. And then the minute it crossed the border into the lawlessness of Long Island, they were like, oh, was it Long Island?
Long Island City, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck, we got no jurisdiction there. That dog's free.
The only other Nextdoor thing that came to mind, unrelated to dogs, that I was just trying to track down, but I can't find it right now, is a woman. It was the most, like, transparently weird situation I'd come across, where a woman... was talking about how she needed an in-home, not physical therapist, not doctor, an in-home strong young man. Had to be a man and had to be young. She was in her 60s and was a former Broadway dancer, and this person needed to be a strong young man who could stretch her out and like carry her from her bed to other parts of the house. And just like massage her muscles and do things for her. Sex was never mentioned, but it seemed heavily implied. that's what this was about. But the only reason that I'm not willing to pull the trigger on it definitely being a sex thing is that it seemed like a pretty rotten deal otherwise, because he was just like, the pay is not good and it's not gonna be good. You should only do this if you're really gonna love the work.
I've always assumed that's what Nextdoor was gonna be when I got on it. I was like, there's gonna be some weird Craigslisty request for sex on here. There's gotta be. And that was really disappointing for me to see. I'm so pleased that you got something like that. What, did she delete this? No, here it is. Yeah. I'm gonna send you the picture of this neon porn picture of this dog. Oh, it's got, the thread has continued. I've got so much to read. So that's like a 3-foot by 3-foot poster board that then somebody else was talking about how they keep running into it when they're skating down the street and stuff like that.
Jesus Christ. This poster is so green.
I think there might be some magenta ones too, because there's some other, I'm just gonna send the whole thread to you because I think you'd really enjoy it. But they're just these big giant posters, which I get. Like, if I'm gonna be walking around my neighborhood, the stuff that's stapled to lampposts and stuff or taped around a lamppost, I pretty much ignore, because it's like an ad on a website. I just know that that's not something that I am going to look at.
It's also such like, it's such an old fashioned way of asking for help and spreading information, that anytime I see any sign taped to a streetlight or a tree, my brain tells me that it's been there for years. So like when I see no matter how fresh the paper looks, I'm like, that bird's fucking dead. Forget it.
Yeah.
Here's a question that I have for this missing dog sign. So I'm going to describe this sign for our listeners. It's an impossibly green, inescapably neon green sign. Missing dog, possibly stolen. There's three pictures of the dog, which I think is a very smart thing to do. And they're all labeled long hair, groomed, messy. So you see different versions of this dog because you don't know what state you're going to find it in.
It could be a kidnapped dog.
Here's what's wild to me. The photoshopping, like putting the label long hair and messy on the dog, is as basic as you could expect. Like, no disrespect to the person who made this. No one is born knowing how to Photoshop. This is fine. This is assuming your parents are around my parents' age, this is their first attempt at photoshopping. That's the level of skill we're going to assume here. Except the picture of the dog that's groomed is like every other...
on a white psych?
It's on maybe? A white psych. Every other picture is like, this is a picture of the dog in the street. This is a picture of the dog in the house. This is a picture of a dog was taken and then expertly cut out of its background and placed on a transparent background that is like a pure white void. And I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it does. It looks like either the photo was taken in the fog or like on a white psych stage, or somebody meticulously cut that dog out of something else.
Yeah.
Like it was in a yard or something. They cut away all the grass. They just let the dog, and then they slapped it on a poster with other pictures where they couldn't be bothered to cut it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's those are like the... Nextdoor, the stuff where no one's really in danger, because there is sometimes on Nextdoor, there's like a pit bull in the street attacked my son today, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can help with that. Just keep an eye out for the dog, I guess. But there are so many of them on there that are completely innocuous, but the person is so upset by it, and the stakes are so high for them for this little tiny innocuous problem that I just... adore it. Like, it's my favorite thing to just sit there and read.
I devour all of it. This was when I was in North Carolina. My dad was reading out Nextdoor complaints to me, and one of them was about, it was like, this person's dog attacked my dog when I was walking the dog. And then a person commented on there, was like, I know your dog. You never clean up your dog's shit. Like, great. Now there's more conflict in the story. I love it.
This time of year is particularly good for Nextdoor too, because you get everybody who has never even, they have no idea about the concept of fireworks, in general. Mm-hmm. So you just get a lot of, I heard a loud explosion. Did anyone else hear that? 8 explosions in a row. Did anyone hear that? gunshots in my neighborhood. Is there anybody else? Does anybody have eyes on what's going on? I right around the 4th of July, it's like people go crazy on there. And it's always the exact same post. You could copy and paste from the year before and they'd be identical.
Yeah. There's so many times I want to go into Nextdoor just be like, someone will make a post. Very often people have a thing they want to say, which in New York, if you assume that Nextdoor is predominantly made up of people who are of a generation above mine, older folks, you can probably piece together that there's going to be a lot of calls to refund the police. Like that's, yeah, that's a big talking point among Upper West Side Nextdoor users. That's their platform. That's what they want to say, because everyone likes to think that their city is always going to hell and we need more police. But they know they can't just say that. So they'll do a story that is like, I was in Central Park today on a Tuesday morning in broad daylight and a gang of teens on bikes circled me and beat me and took my shoes, and I called out to the police. And they said, the police aren't going to help you, lady. And they knocked me down and they rode away laughing and no one came to help me. And I really want to comment on that and be like, I think you're lying.
Yeah.
I think that's impossible.
Yeah. I don't think your shoes are that good.
Yeah. I agree. I understand that you feel unsafe right now. And I don't know where that comes from, but like, I believe that's the core of what you're feeling. But I don't think you were surrounded by biking teens in Central Park.
Yeah. There's a weird, like tick in some people's brains where if they think it could have happened, that's as bad as it having had happened.
Absolutely. That's so, well put.
You see it on Twitter a lot where like somebody falls for some fake shit. Like somebody doctored a photo, or it could be, this is not like politically divided either. This happens on both sides where somebody just falls for some shit and then they post it and they're like, I can't believe he's doing this, or I can't believe she's making this happen. And then somebody else will come along and say, no, this is false. Like this, Snopes has already debunked this. This is just somebody created this to be silly. And the person will go, yeah, but it could have happened. I mean, what's crazy is that it's so believable. And you're like, stop right there. Yeah. Those are very different things. It's very, just because you can believe it doesn't mean that that's as high stakes as you think it is. Anyway, those people drive me crazy. But boy, liars on Nextdoor don't. I would love to read some more liars on Nextdoor.
Yeah, I'd like... this will be one of our many recurring segments, Dispatches from Next Door. What are our other recurring segments? That very fun music game that we never came up with a name for.
Yeah, I also have one cooking up, but I have to pre-record something for it, but it's going to be a nice big surprise for you when I do it.
Oh, that's really fun. Is this at all tied to my birthday / Christmas / going away present?
No. Everything in my life I like to keep very close to my chest away from you until it's absolutely ready. Well, I like that. I like the idea of us coming back. I'm going to keep my eye out on Nextdoor for some really good stories that we can bring to one another. But for now, let's end the show.
Love it.
Okay. Well, you can follow Daniel on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. And you can follow Quick Question at @QQ_SorenandDan. You can also follow our CFO, Bacon, at @MakeMeBaconPlease with a PLS, and just ask him about his upcoming legal thing that Dan and I will both be attending in Los Angeles, and see if you can get some answers out of him, because we're not privy to talk about it. He asked us very specifically not to mention it. You can email us at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com, and you can maybe hire at some point. You can at least see the website that he's starting to create. I don't know how you would even follow him, just to check in on it every once in a while, but he's our sound engineer, our editor, and our producer. That's Gabe Harder. You can follow him at gabeharder.com. We also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/quickquestion. And that's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
All right, bye.